that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Good morning. It's a blessing for us to be here together. God just touch us all and give us what we have need of and desire. Amen. We're going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians, verses 1 through 11. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, that you grant unto us. Father, we pray that we would love you and that we would become a part of your holy words. Lord Jesus, for whatever we have need of, Lord, we know that you have it. Let us surrender and receive. We ask you to bless all these in this building this morning, Lord, from the Sunday school, Lord, to the sanctuary, to the pastor's study. Lord, we pray that what you give Brother Dale to bring unto us, Lord, that we can receive it, Father, and pray and guide and touch everybody's body. Lord, the ones that are not here this morning, that's sick, Lord, just bless them. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?
For all one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are ye not carnal?
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Not he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are a husbandman, and ye are God's building.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God be seated.
Amen. Dude, that just takes any work of the man out of the way, and all glory goes to Jesus Christ. He gives the increase. Amen. Let's turn to page 22 in the spiral book. Have you near you? That increase that our brother was reading about, it gives us the victory in Jesus. Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He runs me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he calls the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Oh, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. Oh, glad day when I sins I used to do. I do them no more. Sins I used to do. I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. You remember that day? Oh, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, the sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. Was a glad day when I was born again. Sing it one more time to him. Oh, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, the sins I used to do, I do them no more. Sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. This is the day, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. What a glad day that was when we were born again. We heard the word and responded. It quickened our hearts, and there's no going back. Amen. Let's sing that song on page 388. He Set Me Free. If you have the spiral songbook near you. Amen. Are you glad you're free this morning? Even if you feel bound, there's nothing that can hold you. You just accept the word and see the chains just fall. Amen. Amen. Once like a bird in prison I dwelled. Oh, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God. I'm glory bound, my
Now I am climbing higher each day. Oh, darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Oh, glory to God, I'm onward bound. Oh, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set sin and things that confound. Oh, not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to glory to God. I'm going through. Oh, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he said, let's all stand. Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound.
You turn to your neighbor, greet him in the name of the Lord and say, he set me free. Amen. Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of freedom for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free.
Amen. Today, the bride of Jesus Christ is the freest people on this earth. Amen. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Bless you, Lord.
To see you.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
I am lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Glory.
Right.
to see you.
Amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I hope you come expecting to receive, because that way it makes it easier for me to preach, you know. And all, we had a real marvelous time last night at the Bible study. We had, you know, there, and had the kids had their little part, so it was kind of a little different what we've been doing, and they had theirs, and it went good, and we had ours, and everything. So we just appreciate all of you doing and getting everything straightened up and all. And Michael made it last night. He come in to be with all of us. Yeah, we appreciate it. Amen. That's real good. So just remember that. Remember to pray one for another. Remember the Brother Boyd's class and Sister Monica's class will be gathering to up here in the sanctuary at 12:40 to practice. So remember those things, all right? Keep in mind all of the announcements. Remember the Valentine's banquet coming up for the couples. And remember Brother Ernie Villanueva will be with us, the Lord willing, of the 9th this month. So remember that one.
Yep. What? They need to sign up today.
Yeah. Right. So if you're planning on going to the banquet, make sure you sign up today, because you've got to get everything involved and how many's going and what's going to get it all in place, okay? Amen. So make sure you do it today. Don't come up next week and say, well, I missed it. I didn't know. Well, you know it today, so let it be today, or sign up or forget it. You know, that's the best way to say it, because that hurts feelings, but, you know, you don't want to be told to forget it. Good way of doing it. Amen. Anything else? Any announcements we miss? Nothing else. So remember these things. We thank God for being with all of us and taking care of. Glad to have Brother Russ with us. He came down Friday there a day early, and we had an extra day of fellowshipping. And so that's really wonderful, and we just appreciate it on that. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for all things. We ask you now that you would just come among us in a mighty way, to open our understanding of thy word, because that's what we gather for. We don't gather to be seen or to talk or to fellowship or whatever. That's all well and good. We do those things, but we gather to hear from you. And we just ask you to bless and guide each one. Remember the sick ones among us. Remember Brother Al, Brother Dick there, and all the different ones that are sick and not here today. Just bless each one and let your loving grace be with us all. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've been still on Hebrews 11. So let's start there and just read the scriptures from Hebrews 11 and continue our thought on into the point that we're trying to bring. Okay. Brother Luis is not here. He's over at Brother Burley's this morning and Brother Williams this evening or something like that. He's got full day today, so remember that. And we'll try to get in touch with him to tell him he's going to do Wednesday too. So that'll give him a full week. He can do those things. Okay. So if you contact him, tell him to be expecting. That's his, you know, to be here, the Lord willing, Wednesday. If it don't, then we'll figure out something else. Okay. All right. Hebrews 11:32. Remember what we're saying. This is written about the Old Testament saints and their faith journey and the things that are transpiring or were transpiring with them then. And, you know, it's really still transpiring. Some of the things that are here are still taking place to the natural Israel. All right. And it will finish up in the doing. But this is what I like. So verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Baruch and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Now notice, they achieved certain things, so they attained some promises, but in a minute we'll see they didn't get all the promise. Quenched the violence of this violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured and accepting, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, all right? Now, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. No, they never attained to the promise. But look at all of the great things that they done and it happened there under those Old Testament saints. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. All right? What is the... Yeah. You don't have to turn all of them off. New back doing the switches. Okay. All right. All right. Now, as I've tried to get you to see, and I've spoke on these things many times, but trying to move on into a better thought of understanding that we can follow and talk about that these great warriors of faith that we call, these ones that done all of these things, but yet they never came to a perfect ending of all that they done. They never received the new birth, right? They achieved a lot of things, done a lot of things under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, all right? But they never received the promise. What promise? The promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right? What else would be the promise? They never received that point. So then thereby, by not receiving the Holy Spirit, see, they could not come to a state of completion, which that word perfect there, see, could not be made perfect. That doesn't mean it's a sinless perfection. It means the point of being not complete. It's Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that does not mean sinless perfection there. It means that you have not achieved a complete goal. All right? Now, then they without us cannot be made perfect. You say, yeah, but Jesus raised the Old Testament saints. According to Matthew 4:4, all of them didn't raise. Many of the Old Testament saints didn't raise. And Paul has no problems putting David in this group and putting all the different ones into this group of here that's waiting. He had no problem with that. Why should we have problem with it? Yeah, but see, I heard Brother so-and-so, I saw and I heard too, Brother, you know, and they say, well, now, Jesus raised them back there. And without him, they couldn't be made perfect. And said, now it's making the New Testament to where that without us, they cannot be made perfect. Well, why you want to do that? Why not leave it all? It's in Jesus. Whether it be Old or New Testament. The resurrection and the things are dependent upon him. It's not dependent upon me and you. That would be something that we would do. That would be a form of something of a sinless perfection that we could draw them forth and then they could be changed. No. No, it's all in Christ. He is the resurrection. There's nothing. It's not a great thing that they're saying, well, we could do this, but we got to wait on them. Well, all right. If that's true, then let's get on with what's doing. That's the only thing that I've ever said. Whatever you think this will take place to do these things, let's get on with it. Let's get it into manifestation because we've had 50 years since the going of the prophet to have brought these things to pass, all right? And see, then we're not looking at something to try to raise them from the dead and perfect them. Even if you would say, okay, we're talking about the New Testament of Luther and them and all like that, they're not at the perfection, see, because they're not in a glorified state, all right? Well, see, even if you could bring them up in it, there'd still be problems. you know, not problems in the flesh, but problems because you wouldn't be fulfilling the rest of the word. Everything is waiting on you and I. All right? But now, as our point, we tried to end the message to give you a background enough to be able to say what we wanted to say. And what we were talking about is God is waiting on you and I. See, we spend a lot of emphasis, and it's wonderful that those people back here, the Old Testament, they're waiting on you and I. All right, the best you can do out of the Old Testament saints is go to Revelations 4 and pick up that there's 24 elders, which is 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. And you say, well, those, they're there. But remember, they're not there in glorified bodies. But well, where's the 12 apostles? Are they there in glorified bodies? I just ask simple questions. I like to do that. I like to ask questions. If you think the Old Testament was perfected, okay, but what about the new? Where's the apostles? So chapter 4 is not literal glorified people. It would have to be something different because those in chapter 4, the 24 elders, 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. The 12 apostles, their bodies is in the grave. Right? I mean, is that scripture? Their bodies is still in the grave, waiting on you and I. You know, the 12 apostles. You know, the whole, the church is dependent, waiting on you and I. All right? But see, then we have something to do, as we'll get to it later in the message. Brother Branham said that Jesus never completed his whole thing because he left something for us. Well, all right, if there's something left that's not completed, then the point is right. Everybody is waiting and dependent upon this end time bride, whether it be Old Testament saints or New Testament saints. Everybody's waiting on me and you. Even God, as we've tried to emphasize with the last message there, even God is waiting on you and I. Well, God's waiting on us. No, I'm waiting on God. Well, you're not getting what I'm talking about. You're trying to make it into some other form. God is waiting on you and I to believe him and let him make it manifest. It'll all be him. That's what I was saying a moment ago. Whether it be Old Testament resurrection, whether it be New Testament, it's all in Jesus Christ. It ain't you and me in a way. It's just what we're doing. It's the position that we have been put in. Somebody has to stand in this place. Why can't we believe we're them? Somebody's going to do it. Why can't we believe that we're the people? The Bible says that we're the people at the end of all things has come upon. Well, why can't we believe that? All right. See, then what was our point that we covered last week on covering it, you know, trying to show? And Brother Branham says they don't have to pull these. I'll give you a number and we'll start with it in a minute. But Brother Branham says on Melchizedek, the great priest, he says those Old Testament talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those who were heirs of the promise, looking forward to us not to fail.
Right, right, amen.
Looking forward to us not to fail.
Right, right.
Well, and he says, for without us, they cannot be made perfect.
Right.
And how they're depending on us to us this morning, let's not fail. Those Old Testament saints is dependent upon you. Yeah, but how are they dependent? They're not in a glorified body. That's what a point I tried to make so you listen to what I'm talking about. You 24 elders in Revelations 4, you're going to have the 12 apostles sitting there in some form and their body in the grave, and you're going to have a 12 apostles, you know, 12 Old Testament prophets and things. You're going to have them there in glorified bodies. No.
Amen.
See, that's why everything's waiting on you and I.
Right.
Everything's waiting on this end time people. Well, why can't we believe that?
Amen.
If they're not waiting on us, what are they waiting on? Oh, we're waiting on time to run out. No, I didn't believe that in the Baptist, and I certainly don't believe it now. I was looking for something, and I'm still looking for something. What? I'm looking for God to come on the scene and make his word alive. Make manifest what he said he would do. He's put it all into this position. All right, we gave you another one where Brother Brown said from the message, glorify Jesus, how that those Old Testament saints are looking now. Without us, they cannot be perfected. So they're depending on us to believe God's word.
That's right.
Yep. What are we to do? Well, you said, well, what are we to do, Brother Dale, to try to make a prayer? Believe God's word.
Amen.
First off, believe he's talking about you.
That's right.
Because as we was talking about it last night in the Bible study, see, everything is waiting for somebody to just stand up and say, I believe it.
Amen.
Well, we're not. No, that's the point, see. A man named Martin Luther looked at the Bible, looked at the things, looked at the world, looked at the church. And he come out and he preached, the just shall live by faith.
Right.
All right? God was waiting on that.
Amen. Right.
He was waiting on Martin Luther to fulfill his word.
Amen.
Well, see, we say Martin Luther was waiting on God. Well, really, God was waiting on him. He's waiting on somebody. The prophet said, if God can get one person to believe his word, he said he can do what he needs to do. Just one person. It don't take a world full of people. See, John Wesley come forth with being a coming to America to preach to the Indians to convert them, found out, he said, I needed to be saved myself. He goes back with a message of sanctification and confounds the world with it. You know what was doing? God was waiting on John Wesley. They were people that already had preached sanctification. The Moravians, ever how you pronounce their name, they were teaching that on sanctification. That's where where John Wesley went to them and caught what they were doing and went back home preaching it because he seen them alive.
Amen.
If you remember the story, they were in a boat and the boat was about to sink. Well, over here is the people there. Oh, we're singing. And over here was the Moravians just singing and worshiping and just having a good time, you know. Huh? Kind of reminds me of the lady. You remember the prophet was telling about the story of it. And the lady said, the captain said, the boat's going down in 30 minutes. She's hollering, praise God, glory, hallelujah. He said, you didn't understand. We're going down in 30 minutes or we're going to be in the harbor. The lady said, said, I got a daughter in the harbor and I got one in glory. Said, in 30 minutes, I'm going to be with one of them. See, she was rejoicing to that. She wasn't, the Moravians wasn't afraid. That's what Wesley, what it caught. He knew then they had something he didn't have. So he needed that. He already had the new birth of justification. He was preaching Luther's message and all like that, coming forth with those things. But yet he needed a further advancement. So what was happening? You say, God was waiting. He's waiting on somebody now to just stand up and believe it. And say, thank you. He can make it manifest. He ain't got no problem making it manifest. He can do that without us. But yet he said himself he's waiting on us. As we're talking about last night, the brother's asking the question about, finding the Bible and reading the Bible. See, I don't have to read in the Bible that I can read that without us they're not perfect. But see, I don't have to read that. I know they're not perfect. I know something is wrong. Something is wrong. Would you agree with that today? That there's something wrong. We've been 50 years after the going of the prophet and had an opportunity to get into the word. What's wrong? It's evidently you and I.
Amen.
Right.
So evidently God is waiting on somebody.
Amen.
To step forth. Well, okay. Why can't we believe we're that one to step forth? See? All right. Are you following what I'm saying? He says on perfection, talking about the Old Testament heroes of faith. And he says, without us, they cannot be made perfect because they're of the the shadow of this to come. And see, it verifies the point to be right when it's speaking of these here that never received the promise. Do you understand that? They never received a promise. They never got to a salvation point. They never got to a new birth. Those Old Testament saints, they were waiting. All right? Jesus had to come to bring that to where that they could come to salvation later date, because they never received it. They rejected him. They turned it down. And they're still to this day waiting. Waiting on God to fulfill his word. See? You go over and talk to those Jews, they're not just sitting over there twiddling their thumbs. They're reading, they're studying, they're getting everything prepared, they're trying to do everything, trying to build a temple, trying to do everything that they think will be the part of it. But we know what's going to be the part of it. One day there's going to be two witnesses walk out there. And they're going to see who they are. Okay, that's all that I'm trying to get you and I to do is see who we are. The prophet said when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, he said she'll be an invincible army. Well, all right. God's waiting on you and I. But come to find it out, after we're doing all of it, and we say, well, God, he's waiting for you and I to realize who we are. Well, I don't know. One day I feel like I'm saved, the next day I wonder about it. Well, what you need is a good case of salvation. Are you saying I'm not saved? Yeah. I don't mind saying it that way. One brother one time, he said, Brother Dale said he got up and told them people that I wasn't saved. I didn't do it. The next time I talked to him, I said, you told them people a lie. I never said you wasn't saved. Yes, you said. I said, no. I said, if you were saved, you wouldn't act like you are. I said, now, if you want to turn that around and say it, I'm saying you're not saved. I'm saying you're not saved. See, somebody's got to come to a place to where we can believe it. Amen. And say, thank you, Lord. And let him come on the scene. All right, because what is it? Trying to get down to that point. Brother Branham covers on what the Holy Ghost is given for. What is the Holy Ghost? He said, without us, they cannot be made perfect. See, what did the Old Testament saints need? They needed the Holy Spirit. Right? They needed a new birth. All right? What do they need now? The Bible says until this day, the veil is over their eyes. And whether they're in the grave, they're waiting, or whether they're alive, they're waiting. Waiting on what? Waiting on you and I. Right. To get out of the way. Right. Let's see, maybe I quote it. Brother Brown's talking about the pillar of fire coming or something, and it's paraphrasing, but he said, they see that pillar of fire coming after you and me, think it's coming after them. Right? Think it's coming after them, but no, it's coming after you and I. Because we're the next in order. And what we do when we step out of here, they can follow us. See, they don't have any way to go because you've got to have something in front of you. See? That early church walked out in the faith of God. Amen. And you know what? Today, I still believe that. Amen. Martin Luther preached the just shall live by faith. And I still believe that. I'm still based upon what he said. Well, I ain't based on what he said because he drank beer and sat in a pub and smoked a pipe. Well, boy, you know the gospel. You sure are in good shape. God's waiting on you and me to get out of that junk. That's denominationalism. All right? Sorry, but it's true, right? Okay. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. They lived in one day. We live in another day. All right. So it's all dependent right here where we're at. Okay. He says on the message, the stature of perfect man. See, then you'd see coming into the New Testament. These people who died in here are dependent and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. And they're under souls under the altar waiting for this church to come to that perfection that Christ does come. Those people all the way down through time of the New Testament, they're waiting on you and I. We have the greatest responsibility of all ages. Because everybody is dependent upon whether or not we can believe who we are. But you see, the people of the message, now what are they doing? They're doing their best to destroy the message. Instead of trying to get into the message and believing it. But they're, you know, me and Brother Russ talking about this. See, you know, that Brother Brown said, if you catch me off one word, he said, then I'm totally off. Well, now, what is he meaning? He was a human being. That we got a lot of experience. I mean, a lot of things that he'd done and happened. Is he waiting? Is he saying if one word off? Or is he saying it the correct way? That it, if it is one word off, it's not what we're doing or not doing. It's whether or not we believe the word of God. If he was one word off, then I don't want to believe him. Well, I can show where he missed it at. Come, let's talk about it. That's what I say. You're so gallant to holler and scream about it. Come and let's talk. We'll take our time. We'll sit down and we'll discuss it. I'm not going to argue with nobody, but I'll be glad to discuss it. I sure like that earnestly contending for the faith. You know, I like that part. I ain't going to argue with you about it. I'm just going to believe what he said. All right? But see, we know then from understanding that it's not talking about something that we can raise the dead, we can do this, we can do that. It's talking about the fact that when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, you say, well, what are we here for? We're here to be that part of the people of God that can believe God's word enough until the world is waiting. Amen. Everything's waiting upon the bride of Jesus Christ to realize who they are. Amen. You say, well, Mama, and them's in. Well, Mama's waiting on you. Amen. Let's believe it to where we can go forth with it. All right? Now, he's waiting, and see, we look at something and we say, we can't see that. Well, I just don't see that made manifest. You know, so that by we reject it, okay? All right. On the message of the stature of a perfect man, he says it like this. His church has got to be honed. The church has got to be honed. All of those stones fitting together, and he says, all right, not only just some creed or doctrine or something other, we come through, it'll have to be so perfectly like Christ to when he comes, he and that ministry will fit right smack together. Well, I just don't see nobody with a ministry of Jesus Christ. Open your eyes. What are you looking for? What do you got to have to where God could prove it unto you? Well, I think it ought to be these great signs and wonders. Now, your prophet Wade's been doing a good job on that, talking about a revival. A revival is not signs and wonders and movements and this and that and the other. That's the after effects of the revival. The revival is to revive the person. Bring the person to a place in Christ that God can move on the scene. Yes. My whole emphasis has been on one thing on this point that I'm trying to get us to see, because I said I've preached this many, many times just a few months ago. We was on this about they without us cannot be made perfect. But my point now is for one thing. God is waiting on you and I. All right. He's waiting for us. Right? to do some things, and let's see what those things are now as we try to go through it this day, all right? Now look at it like this. Go ahead and we'll start from number six. They can pull up number six, which is God's provided way of healing. Then run it down to the bottom where we got it. You say, well, Brother Branham, you say, let us. That's what God is waiting on. We're waiting on Jesus to return. And Jesus is waiting on us. See, we can say, well, we can see that easily, that we're waiting on Jesus to come and do something. But he's waiting on us to do something.
Amen. Right. Amen.
What is he expecting us to do? One thing, believe him.
Amen.
He's not waiting on us to do these great signs and wonders, and is that because we can't do them anyway?
Right.
He's waiting on us to believe him.
Yes.
Right. Is that the point? We're waiting on Jesus to return, and Jesus is waiting on us. So there ain't going to be no return of Jesus Christ unless the bride realizes it. Because look, you say, well, now, what can we do about it? Okay? The Bible said the hour has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah, made herself ready. Now, how are you going to make yourself ready? I mean, my little bride, my wife, got up this morning, and she made herself ready. She put on some clothes. She took a bath. She done the things that was necessary for her to do, and she put on some clothes that had, you know what I mean, I'm trying to get to her, that I'd bought for her, you know. All right? I bought them. She put them on. All right? She's making herself ready. Right? And that's all God is wanting to do. He's already paid for everything. It's all available. All we got to do is just believe it and accept it. We don't have to work nothing up. He's done it himself. All right? And look. See, then what does he say? We're waiting on Jesus to return. Well, now, when he comes, boy, I tell you what, it's going to be great. Now, when he comes, it's going to, well, how come he ain't got here? Maybe it's you and me. Maybe it's you and me. Well, maybe God is waiting on you and I, because that's the emphasis I want you to get. Go ahead to number seven. We believe that the God of history still lives today. And he was called on the scene, talking about the epileptic child, okay? Is that the one? He's talking about the little child in the Bible. Raise it on up a little bit, but this is the part where we'll get that. But what was he doing? The epileptic child. God has always wanted to do one thing. I've always tried to preach it this way, and I believe it. He wants you to call him on the scene. That's what your prophet says. What were they doing with the epileptic child? They couldn't get him healed. But here come Jesus. Call him on the scene. But are we afraid to call him? That could be one thing. We could be afraid. I've always thought about living and doing in this form. Can you just turn around and think about him being there? Or would you want to change something if you knew he was coming? You're trying to call him on the scene, but then you want him to wait until you get the house clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not physically house clean. This house.
Right.
Are we worried about that? Well, I don't know whether I want him to come or not now. Well, then he ain't going to come. Get the point of what I'm talking about. And if you believe what? If you believe that the God of history still lives today and he was called on the scene and the epilepsy left the child. So he was called on the scene. He wants us raised on up there a little bit more. His promise is just as true as there ever was. And it's time that his people called on him. Raise him up from history. For it is written, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. He's a historical God, and he's a present tense God. He is a historical God, but he's a present tense God. A historical God will do you no good. I don't serve a God that I have to call him on the phone and get him to come up or do something. No, he's waiting on me. That's the point that I'm trying to us to all to see. God is waiting on you and I to call him on the scene. Let's see, there's one over in here in a minute. I got it, where he's talking about the conditions that we're in. I'll find it. But he says, see there? In other words, God ain't counting all them things. He's just waiting on you and I to call him on the scene. He ain't waiting on us to get good enough. That's our point. You ever talk to people? Well, when I quit smoking, when I quit doing it, I'll be saved then. I'll get saved. But I can't do it like this in this bad condition. Well, you don't need saving then. You know, because you're not dependent upon nothing else. You're thinking about your own self or something good. Come on, trying to get a point to us on something to talk about. All right, go ahead. He's a historical God. He's a present tense God. That was a historical God and give the promise. And we're the people today of his pasture. We're the sheep of his fold. And he's waiting on us to stand and call him on the action. Call him on the scene. Watch him go in to move us. Watch him do the supreme. Watch him do the thing that man will wonder and scratch his head and not understand. He's the historical God and a present tense God. He's waiting to be called out of history. And Brother Ron Priest has one title there, you know, Raising God from History. You realize he's a historical God to most people. Oh, yeah, this brother right on. I'm not throwing no stone. This man right over here today, he's preaching about a historical God. What's the difference in what he's trying to do and what we're trying to do? I'm not trying to get you to believe in a historical God. I'm trying to get you to believe in a God that's present tense, right now. Not to come, but he's here now. If you don't get nothing out of the message or anything to me, you realize that's what Brother Dale's always tried to do. For the 50 years that I've been preaching, I've tried to get the church to see a living God. What good is a dead God? What good is a God that won't come on the scene? We try and see what we're trying to do. That's my emphasis, the whole point, you don't get it. What we're trying to do is maybe get good enough, you know, or do this or that or the other, some deed we could do, some idea, some thought we could do that will bring God on. No, what's raising him from history? Raising him from a historical point about God or a point about your God that's not real. As I was trying to emphasize a minute ago, and I turned my thought off, but can you turn around and see Jesus? Or do you want him to wait outside the door until you get ready to look at him or to meet him? What about it, church? Go ahead to the next one. As the eagle stirreth his nest. Pull it on up. Oh, what we need today is a calling together, a getting ready and not dependent on the preacher. Right? Remember what Wade's been on the revival part? The preacher can't bring the revival. Well, and I'm saying it just plain language. You'd say, if Brother Branham was here today, he'd bring a revival according to what he said. Now, according to what he said, he couldn't bring it. Well, now you're done. Now you're, no. Now I'm just playing. He's the one that said that you couldn't do it that way, that the preacher can't bring the revival. It has to be you that brings the revival. If you're wanting a revival, start doing it. Find out what's needed and do it. Might create a revival. Okay, I'm not throwing no, I'm just making it plain because that's the way that I think. Well, I'm waiting on this. Well, all right. But you know, God's waiting on me and you. Come on, that's my whole point. Make yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. See, but you as an individual before God, make yourself ready for the coming of the Lord to escape all this corruption. No matter what you call, what they call you and what action they take. That doesn't change God one bit. God will do it just the same. He's depending and waiting on us. He's waiting on us. That's the whole point I want the emphasis made over and over to you. God's waiting on us. Well, Brother Dale, I've always just waited on him. Now, you know, you don't know how many hours, how long you want to spend where Brother Branham would even say it himself. He said God was waiting on him to see what he'd do. You ever heard him say that? God was waiting on him to see what he'd do. What about me and you? All right. Go to the next one, number 10. And those who are resting out yonder in the grave or under the altar of God, as the scripture says, are crying, how long? Lord, how long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go in the rapture. Well, for 50 years I've been waiting. I just ain't seen him in 50 years. The altar's open. You need a good case of salvation. If you ain't seen God in 50 years, then God ain't in existence to you. Sorry, that's as plain as I can be. I've tried my best to get people to believe it, and they don't want to listen to you. This message never brought a different God to me than the God I tried my best to believe. Because the God I tried my best to believe, I seen him. I worshiped him. I prayed to him. I believed him. I didn't change to another God when I come into the message. I changed to my understanding of God. Was brought by the prophet. Right? But as far as me, I believe the same God. We monitored our TV. When we came into the message, we throwed it out the door. But we monitored our TV when the kids was little. They weren't allowed to watch. This is 50. 1950. 60, early. We wouldn't allow our kids to watch certain programs on TV. In the 50s or 60s. Brother Branham didn't have to throw out a lot of things for us. We were trying our best to live as Christians. Why can't we just do that? That's what I've always said. You see people in this message, oh, they're going great, they're going good. But then you let them backslide, first thing you do, they go whack her hair off. Well, the Bible tells you not to do that. Brother Branham didn't have to come to tell us these things. Well, Brother Branham come to tell us how to live. We already know how to live if we had a new birth. Azusa Street had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They knowed how to live. And they lived and done good. May I quote Brother Branham? They were closer to the coming of the Lord than we are. And quote it. That's a quote from the prophet. Who is those people back there that lived and depended upon God, and in their lives they had to because they were digging out a living. Most of you have never had to depend upon God. We live to the point that what we planted, if it wasn't raised, we didn't have nothing to eat. You kids and young people don't know nothing about that. You got your welfares and your everything else to take care of if you need it. We didn't have none of that stuff. I remember Brother Tatum talking about it. And he, you know, he said they ate the honey. And his point was one thing. You know how you poison cotton? You put the cotton poison down into the bucket of molasses. You had to have molasses to be able to poison cotton. And then you take a little thing and you make your little mop. You make a little two-piece thing or something. And you took that, and I've done it all day long. You take that and use, there the cotton comes up and it's two little things like that. And while it's like that, you've got to put that poison. Well, what was the poison? The poison was stuck together by the molasses. And he said, we ate the molasses. That's how poor that got. They ate up the molasses. See, that was when we was poor, that we wondered what we was going to get to eat. But you that never been that way, you don't know anything about it. We come up believing God. What about now? Okay. Now what's waiting on us, believing it. Okay, go ahead. What are we? The number 11, I guess, number 10. Okay. And what are we coming here for? Now, I just caught this because it was in it, waiting, you know, in what I was running, waiting on us. But it caught my eye. What are we here? What are we coming here for? What have we been doing for 50 years since the going of the prophet? Coming to church and trying to be good and doing the best we can do. And you know, what have we been doing? I've told you. I've been in a revival ever since I've been in this message. But it's a word revival. My rejoicing is every day about the revealing of God's word. I've seen great signs and wonders. All right, seen the dead raised, seen all kind of sickness healed. I see, but that doesn't. And just because I come into the message, I never claimed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I told you for 2 years I didn't have it. For 2 years after I come into the message, I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, you come in the message, didn't you? You're supposed, if you believe the message, yes, sir. Read 6 books in one day and listened to 2 tapes. You ever tried that? I was packing that word in, everything I could pack in, but I knew at the same time I wasn't born again. Well, I'm born again because I believe prophet. Believe what? Especially now. You want to go out now and pick up some of these things that are being thrown around now and claim that was the prophet's message. That's all right, listen. But listen, are we coming here playing a game? What have you been doing? I'm just serious. You take what you want to of what I've said, but it's there, and I ain't having to worry about it. But what have you been doing for 50 years? Come on, you older ones. Was you closer to the Lord 50 years ago than you are now? 20 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, you know. Was you closer? Then it wasn't God. Seriously, it wasn't God. Because you're not supposed to get worse. You're supposed to get closer to God. Right. Amen. See, I believe it. Come on. Are we coming here, meeting as a lodge, You know, are we just a spoken word church, Lula, Georgia?
Right.
The only thing we're known for is for believing the word. That's the best way to tell you, because that's what everybody said. There's one thing about that church up Lula, they believe the word.
Right.
You know, don't go up there and try to do this, that, and good, because they believe the word. Well, what else could be the greatest thing to be? I count that an honor.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
For people to say, you just believe the word. Well, there's one thing about it. We get the seed in the field. All we're doing, God's got to take care of the rest of it. He's got to bring it up. All I've ever tried to do is preach the gospel to get it planted in you. God has to quicken it. I can't make it. But I can at least preach it to that degree. Look at it. Are we coming here meeting as a lodge? It's Christ can't come until that church is perfectly right. Now, whose fault is it? If you don't get nothing, get this. Whose fault is it? God's waiting on you and I. I got the rest of going on through here, a whole lot more quotes about it. But is it enough to see now that God's waiting on you and I to call him on the scene? Call him up from history. Bring him from a historical God to a reality of a living God. Then we can believe him. When we were, I'm just waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. Come on. Look. Christ can't come until that church is perfectly right. He's waiting on us. I believe we're at the end. He's waiting on us. Well, I always thought, Brother Dale, that we was waiting on him. Come on. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. So then there's got to be something causing you or God to move on the scene into our lives that can build up a standard.
Amen.
And when are we going to believe it?
Amen.
Back in the early parts of our doings, I'm sorry, but we were just about like the good old Baptists. Because in the Baptist church, we believed we're saved. We hoped we're saved. Maybe we're saved. If we're this, we was a little different from the Methodists. Because what the Methodists done, they said you're justified and sanctified. And if you fell backwards, you had to come back and get justified or sanctified again and all like that. And we Baptists, we said, no, we don't believe it that way. No. We don't believe it that way. We believe we're once saved, always saved. Well, I told him, and you know what the prophet said about it. He said, if they're going with the word of God, I'll agree with him.
Yeah.
He agreed with it if it's right.
Yeah, sure.
But if it ain't right, what good does it do to toot her horn?
Right.
God ain't waiting on you and I to put out books and tapes and run it to the world.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you one in a minute here where he says we need to be missionaries.
Yeah.
All right? But he's not just waiting, so boy, he's waiting for, because every time you see anybody start trying to get anything to put the word out, the denominations of this message cut it off. I say that without no respect, you know, just say it for being the truth. But what about it, church? God is waiting on you and I. What'd we get? Is that number 11? Let's go to 12 then. And roll it on up. Let's get the message to the dying. Well, we're going to send revival. I'm sorry to be aggravating and arrogant in what I talk. But get the truth out of it. Let's don't blame everybody else. I don't even blame the devil for me doing a lot of things. The devil made me do it. No, I done it on my own. I don't even blame him for all of the problems. I blame myself. Right? So if God's waiting on you and I, you know, he could be waiting on one person. What about, for Wade, all he's preaching about a revival, if one person in here catches that, and believes it,
Amen.
God can make it manifest.
Amen.
All he needs is one person.
Amen.
Now, if we get a group now, I like Terrence's way of doing it. We talk about around here because a lot of times, you know, here we're sitting today, we're down, we're into the 70 or something like that class today, and last week we was in the 90s or 100 or whatever, and I like his way of saying things. He said, just leave it alone, Daddy. There ain't no need of building on the church because next week ain't going to be that many here. Right? You know, we say, well, we got to build on because we got enough seating in here for 110, and we got 100 in here. He said, don't worry about it. They'll be gone. Well, then one will just get up and walk out, and they just leave, and just, you know. Okay. Come on. Look, let's get the message to the dying. That's what I'm trying to do. Awake, thou that sleepest. You know what Brother Brown said that was? He said that was the bride in the denominations. You want that quote? Where it says, awake, thou that sleepest. He said that's the bride in the denomination. We ain't in no denomination. We in Lula, ain't we? We can be a denomination just as much in Lula as all of the world affairs out there are. No, we're not in a denomination. We're about like it was when Brother Biscoll and them, I don't know where they changed something, but they come out with an ORG? Or they put the .org in the computer thing, and this man left, and he said, I ain't going to be in no organization. That was the computer, ORG. We're SpokenWordChurch.com. I ain't in no denominations. Don't take few, it just takes one. You say, Brother Dale, you mean that there's people right here in this church that's denominations? Yeah. Because if we believe anything contrary to what this man has taught us, we're a denomination. That's as plain as I can be. Because I believe this, the man taught this is the one that taught the Bible. You know what I mean? Because I believe this is the Bible.
Amen.
You say you got to line these two up. No, you don't have to line up nothing. This is the Bible.
Amen.
What the prophet said is the word. But are we going to believe it? Come, we'll pull it back up. We'll get on to it. That's what the message is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that could be you going down to your neighbor. That's what I'm saying. We're not getting it. We're looking for something. Well, we're doing the best we can up Lula. We send so many thousands of dollars every month to missionaries. Well, praise God. I thank God for that we have that to be able to do that. But it might be your next-door neighbor that needs it. Might be your children that needs it. That's kind of what he's talking about, waiting on us. The dying world. See? Preach the gospel. Not make organizations. Build denominations. Build big buildings and things. That's all right. I ain't got nothing against it. But it ain't what Jesus said. He never said go make organizations. Go build big churches. Big buildings. He said preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. There's the gospel. That's what we ought to be dealing or wanting to. What's the conjunction and? Conjunction ties the sentence together. See, these signs shall follow them that believe. All right? Go on to the next one. We got a little bit of time left. There's been a dispensation. There was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law. There was a dispensation of the John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of the church organization. There's dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now watch him. Now's the dispensation of adoption. What the world's waiting, groaning. That's according to Romans 8:23, right through there. But the whole world is waiting on the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. I've always said, if you get a fire burning, you're going to attract attention. Right? People are going to come see what the fire is about. Well, if we want a revival, let's act like one. If we want to get it closer to God, let's act like we're closer to God. Let's live like we're closer to God. Let's be like we're closer to God. Okay, sorry. Now's the dispensation of adoption. What's the world? What the world's waiting, groaning. And when the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is the fullness of time? When the dead rises, what's the ultimate end of all of what we're talking about? When sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. What is it to be? What's God waiting on? You and I.
Amen.
Adoption time. Okay, come on, let's go ahead to the next. This is the mystery. What's the mystery of God's will? Now, it's not just a little thing. Then it's a mystery. God's will is a mystery. And each man has to seek out the will of God for his or herself. God's mystery. The reason I brought that in is for me and you. You got to find your place. Okay? You women, you don't have to worry about preaching. Right? Come on, you're down through there, and the people say, well, I wonder whether I'm called to preach or not. You don't have to worry about it. You know you're not called. Well, I've got this. God met me and told me to go preach. Brother Brown said, I ain't going to argue with you. Right? But what did he say? He said, I ain't going to argue with you about it, but he said, it ain't according to the Bible. All right? So that finishes. You don't have to worry about it. So your sisters, you're at ease today. The brothers have to worry whether or not they're called to preach. That's just a natural story. That's just a natural point that I'm trying to get you to see. The mystery of God's will is to adopt you and I into his family. Right? Of bringing us into the family as the children of God. And God's waiting on you and I. Adoption time. When he can pour into us his fullness. I'm quoting Brother Branham. And raise the dead and we go into rapture. God's waiting on you and I. Come on. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See? That's what the world's waiting on. Come on. Waiting on you and I. God, let's go to the next one. Waiting on you and I. I've just got a whole bunch of them if you want to listen. All right, if you don't, then just cut it off. Okay? My point is to get us to see. If you don't get a point out of anything, that Brother Branham is a firm believer in God waiting on you and I. He evidently was because he does a lot of talking about it. You know? So evidently it's putting up on the basis of what we are. Okay? The believer's position in Christ. Now we're groaning, waiting for that time of adoption. And we believe that one of these days the Holy Spirit will move in. Not with a new birth. For we receive that through Christ. But you'll adopt your church then. Then she'll be clothed in the power of the resurrected Lord. And you pray and things and pray that you'll he's saying, we pray that you'll adopt us now, Lord, into your family. Give us the authority that we need, Father, to make the gainsayers keep still. We should pray for that. Not pray for great gifts and signs and wonders. I never pray for God. One brother used to come here and it hurt, but I'm sorry. But I used to tell him, I said, brother, I pray for God not to do nothing when you're here. Boy, that really... What do you mean, brother? You pray for God to not do something when I'm here? I said, yeah. Because you'd go out and advertise it to the world, and this building would be slapped full, and we'd have to build on two or three times. But I said, then you'd be gone. You wouldn't be here. You understand what I was getting at? He wasn't the one to come, and he'd just get everybody else to come, and he'd be gone. I said, I pray for God to not do anything while you're here. Because you got the wrong idea. I'm not trying to get you to come to this church to be anything other than one thing. Be what God has called you to be. If it's a deacon, be a deacon. If it's a minister, be a minister. If it's a house cleaner, be a house cleaner. Whatever God has called you for, do that. If it's a pew warmer, you know what I mean? If it's just something to sit down, do it. And believe it. Find your place, your position. Give us the authority that we need, Father, to make the gainsayers keep still. Give it to us. All right? I'm praying now a prayer that I never prayed before. I'm praying for God to move on the scene in the church at Lula in a way to either empty the building or fill it up. You understand what I mean by that? We had a couple of ministers that used to be in the church here with us. Well, I didn't tell this for a long time because it was embarrassing. And I put a prayer cloth underneath where they were sitting. My prayer was not to get rid of them, but get them to make up their mind what they wanted to do, whether they could do whatever. You don't understand me? I wasn't trying to get them to leave. I didn't want them to leave. I had no reflection to them leaving. I wanted them to make up their mind whether they could get in with what we were doing or get out. Right. You know what? They got out. Right. And you know what? I mentioned that one time, and somebody, and I know it was, but somebody looked under that pew and took out my prayer cloth. Well, I just went a little further over in the seat and put one where they couldn't find the second one. But you know what? After it was over with, people saying, Brother Dale, did you put one where I'm sitting? You know. I made sure I took them out because I didn't want no reflection. But my point was not nothing against anything. I wanted those two brothers to make up their mind whether they wanted to walk in the word that we were trying to preach or to get out on their own and go, and that's fine. I have no problem. But I'm just saying, if you want something done, after the service is over, turn around and look. You might find something sticking under your pew. But we're having problems now. And I don't mean wrong problems. Where's Joe? And there's Joe. Brother, Sister Gwen's not here today. Well, I get so tickled at him. I look over here one time, and there's Joe and Gwen. I look over here, and there's Joe and Gwen. I look over here, and there's Joe and Gwen. Because so many people coming in and doing, and they just pick the seats, and that's fine. But it'd be hard to try to put one under your seat, Brother Joe. You keep moving too much. All right? You say, well, that's silly. No, I want you. The one thing that I've always wanted is not a big church. We could afford a big church. We could call in our givings to what we've done. We could have a big church. All right? But we would always build on as we had to. We could have had things paid for. We could do it now and have things paid for. But that's not what my desire is. My desire is to have a people that believe God's word and accept it for themselves and listen to what's being said of these ministers that come in. I try to find ministers that are related to what I'm thinking. You know, thee. You know, my joy is to try to get the people to see Christ living in them. And look at the last five or six ministers that's come in. Besides our local ministers and what they're doing, look at the ministers that's come in. They've all been into that back to the people getting to become the Word and believing it. And well, that's a joy in my heart. I want the church to come to a place to where that they can be what God wants us to be. Right? It don't make no difference what we are. We've always just tried to be what we try to be. But I want a church that just, not to say it's on fire with God. Hey, I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I know that sitting in that seat gets hard on that bottom. Right? Especially when you got to sit there an hour and a half or something with us to talk. And I'm a human being. I realize those things. I realize that the way that I preach and want to do, I demand that you understand or you listen or you go home and think about it at least. Think about what I'm saying. Well, what is Brother Dale saying? He's saying that God is dependent on us.
Amen.
I always thought I was dependent on him. I didn't say that. I'm saying Brother Branham is the one that's saying those things. That God is waiting on somebody to just to stand up and say, I believe it. Well, I ain't never seen it before. It don't work. You might be the one that needs to be saying it. Okay? All right? You understand what I'm getting at? Not a new birth. We got that. But an adoption. Okay? Let's see if I can find a one that Brother Randall said, I don't see nothing outside of the coming of the coming of the Lord except the readiness of the bride.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
The readiness of the bride. They got it up. I don't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord Jesus outside of the readiness of his church.
Right.
He said, now that's a prophecy. Well, you know what? If it's a prophecy, somebody's going to fulfill it. Why can't we believe we're the ones? That's why we're not arguing about this church over here and what they're saying today. I ain't spent lengthy services to try to denounce these brothers that are going this way. I mention it, yeah, because I don't want you to get tied up into some of those things. But I don't spend messages, hours trying to prove that they're wrong. Hey, if you walk away from this message, you're already wrong. It shouldn't be that we have to tell anybody they're wrong. If a man comes up, like Brother Russ and I are talking about, man comes up and says, Brother Branham wasn't Malachi 4. Okay. We got that solved. Now, who is? Because the Bible says it's got to be. Well, who is? Yeah. See, then come find out, you want to say to the person, are you trying to say you're it because you say you found Brother Branham wrong? If you find Brother Branham wrong, then you evidently must be closer to God than Brother Branham was. I ain't talking silly. I'm talking plain language. That's why I don't spend my time to on to those things. Let them do what they're going to do. The only thing you'll ever get me to see is that if they ever come forth and say, would you sign paperwork saying this, that, or the other? I said, get out of here, paperwork. Who do you agree with? They tried to put me in every camp in this message when I come in it. From the two souls, the two lords, the seventh under virtues, the Perusias, all the doctrines, they tried to put me in the camps, and they couldn't do it. First sermon I preached right here in this building, going beyond man's camp. I still believe that today. Let's go beyond our own thoughts and ideas of what something is and get into the message of the hour that the prophet has already brought to us. We don't need to find another message. We don't need to find some other prophet. We don't need somebody to straighten this prophet out. We need to believe it. We need to accept what he says. When he says, that's what you are, why can't I, let me at least say, he said I was. He's talking about me. Let me at least believe that. Because he's waiting on. I've got a whole lot more in here to do it. But you that get the notes and you can have them. God is waiting on you and me. adoption time, when he can pour in his fullness in the baptism and carry us into resurrection and rapture. All right. God's been patient. He's been waiting 50 years. I'm just using that as an illustration back to when the prophet left. Are we closer to the Lord today than we was 50 years ago? If we're not, we're backslid. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. Brother Dale, I ain't backslid. If you ain't closer to the Lord than you was 10 years ago, you're backslid. Where are you going? Ain't but one way. A guy kept trying to tell me some things that he had. That was all right. But he kept telling me, and he said, Lord told me to go north. I said, praise God, go north. He said, go to Lula. I said, good, you're going north. One day he come and he said, Lord told me to go south. I said, now, I ain't never told you nothing. I ain't never said nothing contrary to what you tell me. But I'm going to tell you now, you're out of the word. He said, what? The Lord told me. I said, when you went in the promised land, according to my understanding, you could go in the land, you could go north and south, or every which one falls on one, but you can't come back out. And I said, my emphasis is you can't go in the promised land and go back out. So you're admitting yourself that you're out of the word. Well, you didn't like that. But that's all right. I wasn't being dogmatic. I was just telling the truth. You can go to this way or that way or straight ahead, but you can't go backward. Now, don't start with me to try to emphasize those things, because I'm game enough to talk to you about it. I know what happened with the 2.5 tribes that went back out. But there's one thing about it. They went in the land and got their possession, and they fought for everybody else. That was the meant for them to have to be. That ain't talking about me and you. You can't come into this message and back out of it. You get in this message, you just got to, what did he call that? I never did understand it, but a penny arcade, you could go in and you just look at all of the things, you know. We can come in this message, come on, musician. You can just look, and you just got a wonderful way of going in the message to study and read and things like that. But don't try to go out of it. You're going back to denominationalism. Go forward. Turn northward, the Bible says. Brother Branham didn't go backward. He went forward. You can't do that. But get one of my whole point. What? God is waiting. If you don't get nothing, I'm emphasizing. If I do it, I'll carry it a little further and more. God is waiting on you and me. Amen. To stand up and say who we are. I would be willing. I ain't saying I'm going to do it. I'm not saying because it's not. I'm just saying. I would be willing to go down to the Atlanta Constitution and print a first page and pay for the whole paper to give me every page in the paper to say, I don't agree with the way these people are doing, and Brother Branham never talked no junk like that. Would you? I'd be willing to go pay for the whole paper if they just let me have the whole paper and let me just blast it. But what good would it do? My point is, I'm just showing you how much that I believe it and where did I stand on it. You said, well, I ain't going to do that because they'd get them after me. Hey, they're after us anyway. Don't worry about it. As we were talking about it yesterday, Brother Rutt's talking about it. We was, you know, when they clicked that off in there one day because I put a title to a sermon, Examining Yourself, they clicked us off the internet. That's how close they are. They clicked it off. And Brother Joe had to talk to him and explain them that the Bible was talking about. Examine yourself where you're in the faith or not. They put us back on. That's how close it is. They don't have to have anything to do. They're listening to everything. You know what I say? Praise God. Amen. You know, you say, well, Brother Dale, do you think they might have a hookup in your house listening to everything you do? I hope they do. I hope they have it. Because in that, maybe they're going to hear a little bit of the truth. You know? Well, you're crazy. I agree with you. But I love the Lord. I love His Word. See? And I believe His Word. But I believe it's the point that I've always been is one thing. I believe in a positive, present tense God. The word I am means ever present for eternity. Now, that's just your prophet's definition of the word I am. I am means ever present for eternity. I believed in a God before coming this message. I believed in a living God. I served a living God. But I just didn't know who He was and what it was in His Word. I couldn't understand that because we were just taught. We'd done the best we could do. But see, today there's no God different. It hadn't brought a different God to me. It's brought the God of the Word. I believe in the alive Word, the God of the Word, living in me and you, manifesting Himself into our hearts and lives to let other people see the Christ that you have in your life. Okay, let's stand. What we got, Brother Joe?
We have come
to His house, gathered and worship Him. Anybody have a need? Name and worship Him.
We're having a...
answer to all things first, and let your understanding come to us that all of these things are happening to try to bring out of all of us maybe things that we can get rid of in ourselves and do something for. We just ask you to be with Cindy and be with our brother and sister, that all things work out for your honor and glory, and we believe you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And worship Him.
We have come into His
house. Anybody else that have a need?
Magnify His name.
You just believe and see.
We have come into His house to magnify His
okay.
name.
Whatever you believe yourself is the way it'll be. So we thank you. Just make it manifest now. Let everything turn out to be right. In Jesus' name. Okay. How about it? What do you believe?
Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him.
the situations of all things. You know how to take care of them. You know how to make it manifest and what to do. We don't even understand our own selves a lot of times, but yet we know you are the one. We ask you to just move on the scene in our brother's heart and life and let you come to him, Lord, and speak to him and make everything work according to your will and your way in his life. Because we believe you. And we thank you, Lord, that you put a burden upon his heart. The word is it's a broken and a contrite spirit about the way things are going. So we believe that you will just come on the scene and make it manifest now. We believe you, Father, and we thank you. We love you, and we just commit it all to you now. You come on the scene. In Jesus' name. Amen, brother. Let's go believe in it. It'll work. Maybe not the way we think, but it'll work. It'll work out.
I am complete in him and worship his. He is all my righteousness. I am complete in him and worship Christ and Lord.
She has a need, and we thank you that you'll just come on the scene, Lord, and make that manifest that she has a need of. And Father, thank you for your presence to verify that you're here with us. Now make manifest what our little sister's asking for, because we believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? What about it? Do you believe?
I am complete in him and worship him. We have come into his house. I gathered in his name to worship Christ.
Father, we just thank you for today, and we ask you to help us all and help us to understand, Lord. I know that the way that I've tried to talk has been maybe even confusing sometimes, but you know what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get us all to believe you, Lord, and that you're here with us. And you're waiting on us to do that. You're waiting on us to believe you and accept what you're saying and go confess it. Because we know if we're healed, we've got to say we're healed. We need deliverance, we've got to say we're delivered. We've got to confess it. And then you can come on the scene and make manifest our confessions. So truly you are, you're waiting on us. And Father, help us to just to see that. And to say thank you. Because we know for certain, if you're waiting on us, you've got to be close. You're not off somewhere else. You're here with us. So just make it manifest, Lord. Make your love and understanding to be with each and every one of us. And guide us all in your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss. Remember the service this afternoon.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. So take up your cross.